Please be seated. Good morning. Well, I want to thank Buddy always for allowing me back. He keeps a tight rein on me. But I'm grateful, so grateful. You know how much I love this parish. Every moment, every tile, every inch of space reminds me of someone and something. So I'm very grateful. Thank you. Mary Porter was all worked up about the royal wedding. She got up at 4:30, fussed at me for not getting up. Everyone was all excited about Michael Curry's sermon, Bishop Curry's sermon. Joshua Case, young Joshua, is still talking about it on his Facebook page. I went to see Trygve Arnesen last weekend at Pentecost. The whole congregation there was talking about it. Michael Curry. Imagine a world in which love is the way. You have to know that Michael Curry is from the beautiful part of Christianity, the African American communities, those churches all through the South and other places. Those little churches sustained by those black pastors kept an ethnic group of people alive at the worst times of their lives, but their messages of hope and joy and dignity, wonderful. Imagine a world in which love is the way. Remember that? He had his iPad too, a little iPad. She's with it. I guess the verb is imagine, though, isn't it? When it comes to love, I guess we have to imagine. I don't know what other verb you could use. I've had my imagination enkindled. The first time I ever was alive when my imagination about the love of God was knowing the life of Damien de Vuschner, the Belgian priest who went to the Sandwich Islands in 1873, May 17, to spend the rest of his life with the lepers. Mary came from Hawaii, my wife Mary, and so we go to Hawaii a lot. She goes a lot. And she took me on my birthday to Molokai. Molokai is an interesting island. It's the northern island, really, in the Hawaiian chain, and there's nothing north of it except the Arctic Circle. There is a cliff of 1,000 feet, and the leper colony is down below. The winds come in gale force. It is very cold at Molokai. Much colder than our fantasies about Hawaii. I can't imagine what it was like for that young man to get on a raft and be pushed away from the boat and ride the waves onto the rocky beach of Molokai. I've often thought about it. Imagine a world in which love is the way. The lepers, of course, were promised that they would get sanitation and health care. But as soon as the boat left the harbor in Honolulu, they were put in cages and pushed off the boat with sticks. It is estimated that half the lepers who landed in Molokai drowned in the ocean. Damien would bring his community out and wade in and try to rescue those that he could. In Statuary Hall in Washington, one of the statues representing Hawaii. And underneath it, there are just two words, extreme devotion. What kind of person could love so profoundly? John Wesley was asked by the Bishop of London to help out the Episcopal Church or the Anglican Church of the 18th century. It was in more trouble then than it even is now. Anthony Trollope, who wrote the Barchester Chronicles, said there were two great miseries inflicted on human beings, slavery and having to endure the sermons of Anglican clergy. And so he said simply to the clergy of London, set yourself on fire. The world will love to come and see you burn. So Michael Curry imagined a world in which love is the way. I give him credit for saying that in front of the royal family. I would have been a bit nervous. But he preached the way he always does. Imagine a world in which poverty is history. Imagine a world where children are fed. Imagine a world in which the earth becomes a sanctuary. Set yourself on fire. Everyone loved to see him burn, and he did. You know, when St. John, the gospel writer, was an old man, he was in the town, in the city of Ephesus. So tradition says his successor was Polycarp, a name very common in Greece, not at all here, Polycarp. Polycarp was his successor. And John would come in at the end of the service and lie down on a litter. He's the only apostle, they say, who died a natural death. And he would give the final blessing. And it was always the same. Little children, love one another. And people said to Polycarp, well, you know, let's say, will he say any more? He's going to die soon. He's the only one who knew Jesus. Can you get him to say more? And Polycarp said, well, I don't know. It's kind of sensitive. Well, he's giant or he's John. Well, please, for us, tell him to tell us what he knows. Okay. So he went to John. John said, sure, I'll say more. And so they brought him into the litter on the last day of his life. So the legend says the place was packed with people. And John said, little children, love one another. And if you will do it, it will be enough. Imagine a world in which love is the way. When I was a younger priest, I would leave Holy Innocence in the early 80s and I would go down to the Oxford bookstore. Does anyone remember the Oxford bookstore? Long gone now, I'm sad to say. The Oxford bookstore, and I met a man there by the name of Rian Milan. He was a South African, a well-known author. He had received a Pulitzer for articles about South Africa. He had left South Africa and gone to the University of California, Los Angeles. There he wrote these marvelous articles. This was when apartheid, right before Mandela got out of Robben Island, right when it was as vicious as it could be, right as the whole white supremacy was being threatened. That's when it was the worst. It went, the Soweto massacre, these things that horrified us, that was the time. And he wrote these articles, the compelling articles. And his father, who was an Afrikaner farmer, a good man, a man who struggled with apartheid and its immorality, he wrote to his son, Rian Molan, and said, Rian, please do not send me any more of your articles. I am happy for your acclaim, but I have to tell you, you have left us. You have abandoned us. And I have to tell you, son, you have a traitor's heart. And so he signed books that day. His book was called My Traitor's Heart. And he told a story that has affected my life. He was with in a relationship with a young journalist whose name is Jill. Their relationship was being highly, highly under stress because Jill thought he was complacent. They decided to go out to the Transvaal on a Sunday afternoon and have a picnic and see what they could rebuild of their relationship. But it was dangerous to be there because if you came back too soon to Johannesburg, because of the dark, native people would often take big boulders up on the overpasses and wait for cars and drop them. So there was a great deal of anxiety. Great deal of anxiety. And as they're driving home, and it's getting more tense in the car because the sun is setting and the lights are twinking, and they have miles to go. They see, as he described, almost a giant water boatman, a man on a conveyance or a contraption, on a roller skate. He's rowing himself and he's singing. Milan goes far to the left to pass him safely, and she says to him, "Aren't you going to stop?" "Well, I wasn't going to." "Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Here's a guy who might need a ride. Help him! Help him!" So he pulled the car over, and he waited for the man to come up from behind. Got out of the vehicle, said, "You want a ride?" "Okay, okay." He spoke the language very, very poorly. The man had a dialect. They put the conveyance up on the top of the car, and they started to drive. The man kept singing in the back seat, laughing and singing. That's all he did. They drove for about 30 miles. And finally, he asked him, "Where do you live?" And he told them where. And he said, "I know where that is. We'll take you there." Jill said, "What? We can't take him there. What are you talking about? We can't go there. We can't go into the township." "Well, why can't we?" "Because it's dangerous. That's why. That's the big reason. Isn't that a good enough reason for you?" "Well, he can hear you now. He doesn't know what I'm saying. Tell him something. Tell him we can't take him." "What should I tell him?" "Tell him we have no petrol." "Well, he can see the gauge. It's at middle." So he said, "Petrol Palini, Petrol Palini, Petrol Palini." And the guy went, "Ha, ha, 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 Petrol Palini." And they had a big laugh over it. And finally, he pulled the car over, and he stopped and said, "We can't take you. We are afraid. We are afraid we'll be killed. So you have to go." He got out of the car, took the conveyance down. The man rode away, singing and laughing. Jill was in the car. They never spoke again. It ended their relationship. And he said that day at the Oxford bookstore, "You know, that's the problem with South Africa and every moral issue we face. We approach these things with fear and anxiety. And fear and anxiety will never solve any of our problems. We must find a way to love. And those of us who say we love must find a way to love to completion." So if you look at the gospel today, Jesus is breaking the law. Not our law, we don't care, but they cared. They cared a lot. The Sabbath law was the only worthwhile law, and he's walking around as if he didn't care. It doesn't bother us. Is it safe for me to tell you? Is it correct, do you think, and ethical for me to say to you that when moral goodness is demanded, we are not justified in staying behind our commitment to the laws? Would that be fair? Or is that unfair? Don't we agree that indifference in the face of need cannot be justified by our legalisms? Would you argue with me about that? Fear and anxiety are the opposites of perfect love, of course. When is the time to speak? Who should speak? How should they speak? Our Attorney General said on Thursday, "If you smuggle across this border, we will prosecute you. If you smuggle a child across this border, we will take that child. It is the law." Am I unfair and asking people who have said over and over again in the baptismal covenant, as I have, "Will you respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help." Am I unfair to say that we could imagine a world in which love is the way. Will I respect the dignity of every human being? My fears and apprehensions are what keeps me from loving. I'm afraid you won't like me, so I won't say too much. I'll leave it gently here, because I wouldn't want anyone to get mad. That's the painful thing about anxiety and fear. We all have it. But imagine a world in which love is the way. It's a nice world. Amen.